You're listening to the Brand Builders Podcast with your hosts, Scott Dunstan and Brian Young.
Welcome to another episode of the award-winning Brand Builders Podcast powered by the Dunstan Group. My name is Brian Young, and we are here with our rock star co-host, DC Lucchese from Well Run Media, who is popping in here for Scott Dunstan. And I'm here with a really good friend, Craig Barber from Roots Food Company. Now, I met Craig through his wife, Jess. Jess was the captain of our kickball team, and she would always tell us to screw our heads on, screw our heads on. She was the most intense captain of any kickball team, maybe any sport I've ever played, and I did play a Division I sport. But Jess turned us into winners, had a blast, ton of great friends from that group, and it really all stemmed from Jess just being the leader of that. And then that's how we met Craig. So he came into the circle, and it's been a blessing to get to know you guys, see you guys, you know, get married, have kids. Our kids swim together, so we see each other every single Saturday. But you guys are a great family, a great members of our community, and it's awesome to call you a friend as well. But let's jump into what you do for a living. Now, he is a business owner, but Chef Craig originally studied mechanical engineering at the University of Maryland before transitioning into the culinary field. You know, after graduating from Johnson & Wales University here in Charlotte, he started his career at Carmel Country Club. So you guys might have already tasted his food. You didn't even know it. But there he created a food truck. It was the first thing. It was Roots Food Truck, and it was awesome. The food's amazing. If you were ever blessed to be invited to an event that Craig has, or you get invited over to his house, which I have a few times, it's unbelievable. I literally look at my wife. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't cook anything like this. But really, it's kind of transitioned from that food truck into event catering, a cafe that you have in South End, and now a multi-brand food and beverage business. You know, Craig is one of those people, the brands that we can say, we knew them when. And he is our guest here on the award-winning Brand Builders Podcast. Thank you so much, Craig, for joining us. Can't wait to see how your business has grown, how you've really changed with the times, but also how you've continued to evolve and not just kind of sit there and be like, well, we're good at this. You've really done a great job of taking your business to the next level, making some tough decisions, but at the same time, understanding what this community needs and providing an amazing experience, amazing food for anyone. So if you're an organization and you're looking for a catering company, this is the one, and we'll tell you why. Thank you, Craig, so much for joining us on this episode of the award-winning Brand Builders Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's jump into it.
Sure.
First off, I didn't even know you were a mechanical engineer, so that's pretty sweet. How did you make the transition from wanting to be a mechanical engineer, and then you're like, I think I should cook food.
I think to the disappointment of my parents is how that transition going from a public university with an engineering degree and pathway to a private university and becoming a line cook.
Oh, man. Wait, you're doing what? No.
Run that by me.
Yeah, they were basically like, you know, you won't be able to have any of your nights and weekends anymore. And I was like, all right, that's fine. Little did I know what that actually meant. And that's kind of one of the impetus behind me starting my own company was like, I don't want to work as many holidays or nights or weekends as I am now. Maybe I could come up with something where I don't have to do all of it.
There you go.
But yeah, so I was at University of Maryland doing mechanical engineering. As my father has a company that was my grandfather's called Rockville Ring and Bearing in Rockville, Maryland, and they've been rebuilding engines for over 60 years now. They do lots of sort of like resto mod stuff, a lot of like local racing stuff, a lot of really cool, rare things.
That sounds pretty awesome, actually.
Cool. Yeah, it's very, very, very cool. But back when I was in school, it was kind of around the time where cars were getting better and better and better, and you didn't fix them. You just kept it until it died, and then you got a new one because that was cheaper. Taking on a car payment was cheaper than paying a couple $1,000s for your what is only worth $3,000 car to get fixed. So he was like, you know, I kind of see this. I see my industry sort of starting to go away, and his industry is starting to go away. He was right. He's one of the only ones left, kind of in the state/region that does what he does. And so he just takes on small projects, but he was like, yeah, I don't really think you should go into this. I don't know how long it's going to last. So then watching a lot of my friends who were at University of Maryland with me get basement jobs, just crunching numbers and working on design platforms on a computer all day. Mm-hmm. I was like, I need to be building. I need to be doing something with my hands. Mm-hmm. So my next move was to go into the culinary field. I was cooking at this restaurant that was right down the street from my house when I was living at University of Maryland in College Park. And the way that I ended up cooking was this was a restaurant that was the only restaurant like it in the whole restaurant's portfolio. It was a family that only had Indian restaurants throughout D.C. and the D.C. area. And this was a sort of dive bar seafood restaurant in the bottom of a Best Western hotel.
So what kind of chefing are you doing at this point? You're a college guy. So and I you're was, like, what are you doing here, man? Shucking oysters? What's happening here?
Would never have eaten a fresh oyster from that establishment.
Well, that is at the downstairs of a hotel in the Rockville, Maryland.
They did have, I was a server there. So I was a server there. I was just serving for beer money. And then a bunch of their cooks who were all friends with each other just walked out. They left. And then the chef comes out. We're like in our server huddle before the beginning of service. And he's like, I have no cooks. Does anybody know how to cook? And I was like, I can do it. And so my first night.
Wait. Could you, or you were just jiving?
I've done it. I had used to like cook things with my parents at home.
So you did have some sort of knowledge.
I grew up with my mom going back to school when I was in college or when I was in high school, mm-hmm. and with my dad not getting home until like probably 6:30 or 7. It would usually be up to me when I didn't have sports going on to get dinner going.
Right on.
So
okay. Yeah.
I sort of had the basics of what to do. And then I was also in engineering, so I was like, I can figure out how to do anything. I'm smarter than everybody, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you were a young man in college, so yeah, that checks, yeah.
So I raised my hand and was like, yeah, I'll do it. And so they put me back there, and the servers, everybody was just like, this is happening? This is really happening? We're pulling a server off of the floor.
It also speaks to the level of shitty tipping at the Best Western restaurant. I'm like, if you're like, I'm on the floor serving and the tips are so good, he said ironically, that I'm going to go back and cook instead.
Yeah, so that was my first foray into cooking, and right from there, sort of fell in love with the rush that you get from cooking on a line, and the speed and the sort of really just like spatial awareness skill that you have to have, because it is in a busy kitchen, it's a dance between all of the cooks to make sure everything runs exactly how it's supposed to, and that sort of got me addicted to it, and then. I had a friend of a friend who was going to Johnson Wales down here in Charlotte, and I knew a couple of people from my high school who were also down here. And so I decided to give it a visit, visited down here, and Charlotte looked – it literally looked like they had just built the city and opened it. And it was like, mm-hmm. oh, man, like everything is just cleanly swept and nice and brand new. Yeah. And so – once we came down here, myself and my parents were both just like, wow, this place is really nice. So decided to go ahead and pull the trigger and move down here, go to Johnson & Wales. And the rest is sort of Charlotte history now. From there, went to work at Carmel Country Club, and did a lot of my sort of formal training mm-hmm. there. I got to see there's like almost no budget effectively for food and beverage at a country club. As long as you're not losing money, they generally don't care. So we got to use the best ingredients. We got the best equipment. We were doing super high-end wine dinners. We were doing huge golf course, like member guest events. Mm-hmm. We're doing giant banquets for people. We had this pool, like beautiful pool complex that was doing 1,200 person events and things like that. So I really got to see the full gamut of food service, and I think that's really what set me up for to be what we are today, is because I had the full breadth of training from fine dining and restaurant all the way through the sort of banquet style of service. And yeah, from there, the initial company I started was actually...
Well, before really, you launch into that, I have to go... So you didn't grow up here, so you didn't have like this OG network of, oh yeah, he knows that and they know them and this, that, and the other. And you're going to... You get out of culinary school and boom, you land what I would say probably a pretty cherry job, right? In food service. How did that work?
So that's actually, that wasn't just automatic. I didn't just apply and
Sure. Come on, man. Let's go. It wasn't like the Indian restaurant at the Best Western, I'm sure.
No,
here's an application. Exactly. Start on Monday.
You want a job? And they were like, I was like, yeah. And they were like, okay. Yeah. Come on.
Exactly.
Here's a shirt. Yeah. How I got into the country club was I used to work at Caribou Coffee over off of Fairview Road. And I worked there for a long time throughout college. I would go to school in the morning and then I'd work there in the evenings, or I would go to work in the mornings there, then go to school in the evenings. And I got to know Bruce Moffitt from Barrington's Restaurant.
Which is right next door for those who basically don't have a grasp on the geography of that. Yeah. It's in that complex there.
He'd come in, get his coffee, and we'd chat. And then my manager of the store, anytime Bruce would come in, be like, this kid's in culinary school. This kid's in culinary school. You should hire him. And he's like, all right, whatever.
Just give me my damn coffee.
Right, exactly. And so he, at one point, the crew from Caribou and the crew from Barrington's sort of went in together on a box at a Checkers game. So that was sort of like our sort of holiday outing, and it's cheaper for everybody to split it. So basically, like, we had some of it, they had some of it. And it just so happened that the executive chef, who was friends with Bruce Moffitt because they were roommates in college, in culinary school, the executive chef there happened to just come to that Checkers game. And I met him, started chatting. He was like, actually, I'm looking for an intern to start, like, pretty soon. Do you want to do it? And I was like, yeah, for sure. So went back to Johnson & Wales. And I was like, I have my internship, and here's who it is. It's signed on a napkin, so we're good.
Do you still have that napkin?
That's awesome.
So that's how I initially got my job at Carmel Country Club. Was
I love it.
Like, just dumb luck from...
No, that's not dumb. That's called perfect timing. That is such... Like you said, that is a Charlotte story.
100%.
100% relationships. Yep. 100%. Right place, right time. I know a guy who met a guy who talked to a guy who happened to be at a box at the Checkers game one night. And he's like, hey, man, I got a thing going on. You available? Sure.
Yep.
I love it.
That's how I ended up there. And then consequently, through that sort of same relationship, when I was starting my business and was sort of in between the country club and my business, was when I actually got to go work at Barrington's for a while, which was really, really great. I would be nightly cooking next to Bruce Moffitt, and at that time, Jamie Lynch from Five Church was there as well. So I was just surrounded by talent and was able to just glean as much as I could off of them. So I was super grateful for that time. And from there, my first business was actually really similar to what this company in Charlotte, Fresh List, does right now. They source stuff from local farms, and they make a list every week, and they send it out to all of the chefs in Charlotte. And they have their own sort of CSA produce pickup that's available to the public, but mainly we just use it to get our own stuff for our restaurants, and that's what I used to do. It was a company called Cooperative Connections, and we would drive around to farms every single week. We would talk to the farmers. We'd sit in their living rooms. We would write down everything they had. They would tell us the price that it would be. We would drive back to Charlotte. We would send things out to emails, and we'd print out flyers and drop them off at all the restaurants. And this is kind of before it was cool to put local food on your menu, or at least it didn't turn anybody on to put local food on your menu. The people, just responsible chefs, just sort of did it. And so we were selling local food to restaurants for a while, probably about a year, year and a half. But we were a little bit ahead of the trend, because only a few chefs were into it. The rest of the chefs were like, I have a hit budget, man. I can't afford your three times the price squash. Like, this isn't going to work. And so that's when I decided to start the food truck. And I was like, you know what? I can use all these connections and source my food locally. I don't have to mark it up to myself. So if I'm still putting the effort to drive around and get it, and I'm only going to have the food truck open 3 days a week, that gives me a couple of days where I can go out and sort of collect these things. And that's how the Roots food truck was, and the concept was born. Back when the food truck was running, we changed the menu every single day, depending on what we had and what was available. And it was fun. That was a lot of hard work.
Oh, boy, it's labor intensive, brother.
Very, very much so.
Oh, man. Well, I think about that, and I remember, because, you know, I've known you for a minute. I've never had the opportunity to eat at your house, but damn, that sounds pretty awesome. But no, but I've known you for a minute, and I remember the first time I really got exposed to what you were doing was through Pink to Drink, and you were one of the catering units for that event. And I was like, wow, this is just fantastic. And for those who don't remember, Pink to Drink was a cancer fundraiser that Scott and Sam and some of the other folks put on a big street party over there near the OMB and all those places like that, and plenty of great food, including Roots Catering. And it was like, wow. And I remember just vividly going, man, this is just really, really fantastic and really fascinating. And that, and like you said, this is pre everybody getting into local food. And you know, like, wow, when you think about that, you don't think about that all of these things could be and really can be awesome and locally sourced. And it was super eye-opening for me, but also super cool to see somebody that was literally making it happen, and not just something you read about in Food and Wine or Gourmet or anything like that, or saw on the Food Network. You're like, here's a dude in Charlotte who's doing that, man. That's awesome. That was so cool. And you've come there's been a lot of grass cut between then and now, and you guys are involved in a bunch of different food spaces and places. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so now we have, like Brian said, we have Roots Food Co., which encompasses everything that our catering and event company does, and our cafe. Some of that sort of came out of being the pandemic and knowing that we had to diversify and figure out these other sort of revenue streams that we could that we could bring in order to survive and continue to thrive should one of the revenue streams take a giant hit, as did in COVID. So Roots Food Co. is always sort of evolving with the different event trends and needs in Charlotte. We have our full service catering company where we, sometimes I hate calling it a catering company because we are always so much more than that. And for quite a few of the catering companies in Charlotte, that is true. There are, you can just get food dropped off from catering companies, but, kind of the higher end catering companies in Charlotte, we do a lot. We do, we have such a hyper focus on the event going well and the flow of the event and how things are going and the timeline and everything that sort of a planner is responsible for. We have to sort of double check that, weigh in on it, and offer our own expertise on it so that the event does in fact go well. So yes, we are a catering company, but we do custom built and custom created setups and displays and bar fronts and bar backs and just bar setups in general and really cool interactive food setups and things like that yes, we are a catering company, but it is way more involved than that. And that's sort of where we are. That's where our focus is. Mm-hmm. Sort of going forward is that the really, really custom clients, or even if it's not custom, they just want something cool and unique that is that they haven't seen somewhere yet. Mm-hmm. Those are the people we're looking to talk to in 2024 and beyond. And it comes down to even our events that we already have booked who are like, hey, we just want a regular 150 person wedding with a buffet. We're going to bring our touch mm-hmm. to that without them asking for it.
Yeah.
And so that when they arrive at their venue and they see these cool setups that we've done for them and this sort of value added everything on the table, then they're never going to forget it. Neither are their guests. And that's really what our focus is in 2024, is to transition away from the large volume catering where we're doing literally every single thing that comes in the door,
yeah,
to picking and choosing who we're working with. And it's not a budget conscious thing. It's an open-mindedness that we're looking for. So if somebody comes to us with a modest budget or a sort of a lower comfortability on spending a lot of money, then we're going to meet them there and we're going to figure out, but they're open to doing cool stuff with the knowledge of what their budget is.
Yeah.
We're going to meet them there. We're going to figure out what cool things we can do. We'd rather work with somebody who's going to give us a little bit of creative freedom, but doesn't have a ton of money, as opposed to somebody who has a ton of money, but they're like, we want exactly this, exactly this, exactly this, exactly this, and it's going to be beige all the way down. Not really what we want to do.
Oh, man. Well, the level of creativity, I just for somebody, it's like, that should be, people should expect that, right? And that is always the artistry of that and the creativity and the wow of all that and the amount of folks you have working to make all of that happen, to me, are almost equal to the where do you get the business acumen that comes along with all this? Because there are a ton of really smart, really creative people in the food space or any art space, and they don't have the business acumen to pull it all off or make it successful or even survived something like, you know, 21, 22.
Yeah, for me initially, it was straight up trial and error. I was like, this is not making money. Shit, we better do something else. Or
that is one way to learn.
We don't have a ton of money right now. Should I? So I'll just skip my paycheck. I'll skip mine this week and I'll pay my staff so that I know I have them for the mm-hmm. for the next week. In the early days, it was trial and error business acumen. And mm-hmm. then as we grew as a company, I hired a business coach on certain occasions, and during COVID, I really connected with one of the other catering companies owners in Charlotte, and we still talk every couple of weeks or so. And during COVID, we were probably on the phone like every 2 days and being like, what are you doing? Okay, this is what I'm doing. What are you doing? This is what I'm doing. And then throughout their relationship, we were able to like sit down, have a beer with each other and be like, what is your cost? Like, how much does it cost you to have staff? Like, how much does your kitchen staff cost? Like, mm-hmm. per your sales? And we'd share our numbers with each other and share everything with others. Like, this doesn't work, but this does work. What I found is this works, but this doesn't work. And the reason being is Charlotte is ever growing, and there's too much business for the two of us to handle anyways. So we might as well get it right, lift each other up as companies, and sort of rise to the top together mm-hmm. rather than just try to forge through and figure it out on your own. You get there a lot faster if you have a little bit of help.
That's that relationships thing again, man.
Yeah. Well, and it's all about collaboration. I mean, I think, you know, COVID, that was one thing in our industry as well. You know, I used to look at a lot of people that do what we do, and there are a ton of companies out there that do what we do, right? In this area. We rarely run into them because there is so much business for everyone. But when COVID happened, we were all stopped. And what was going to differentiate us, it was the collaboration of working with other distributors in other cities or even in this city. What's working? What isn't working? How are you doing this? What's the structure? And that created such this like a unique bond where we looked at each other like, we're not competitors. Like, we can collaborate and, like you said, rise to the top. I think any company, if you're not looking at not only competitors, instead of looking at it as competitors, looking at it as ways to collaborate, to help yourselves, you're missing a huge opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what business you're in. There is someone doing it better than you. There's someone doing something that you could implement into your business. And if you look at it as a partnership, and then 5 years down the road, you're like, damn, we both started here and now we're here, which is fascinating. I want to talk a little bit about, so you cook for a living, right? You know, you make unbelievable food. And then you go home and you have two beautiful kids and you have a wife and you know they got to have the best food too. So is this a 24/7 I'm cooking all the time? And then on top of that, have you started to see your kids get interested in learning how to cook or interested in what daddy does and how you've created this business? What is that like to kind of go from Chef Craig to Dad Craig? But I know you're still cooking because I've had some of your food at your house. It's amazing. How does that flow?
Yeah, I mean, I am the cook at our house. I cook most of our meals, and it's honestly like it's so much easier for me, and I can do it so much faster that it's just like why not? Why shouldn't I be the one to go ahead and knock those out? I don't get to cook as much as I used to. At Roots, I used to be able to go in and cook every day. But like take today, for example, I've had meetings all morning and now I'm sitting here with you guys. And then by the time that I am done here, eat some lunch, catch up on some more emails, day is gone.
Yeah.
There wasn't even a chance for me to like put an apron on and get my hands dirty for a minute. I do try to make time for that as much as I possibly can. But when I get home, what I like to do is I actually cook sometimes in the evenings or in the mornings when I'm like helping get kids ready for school.
Yeah.
And get it all sort of set up stage so that when I get home and the kids are either tired or they are bouncing off the walls or you know that they'll come home from school in any sort of state.
Yeah. Roger that, man. Oh, yeah.
True.
Just then I can be prepared for that and not have to worry about what we're going to be doing for dinner. My oldest does like to cook with me. He got a little kitchen set for Christmas. It's got these like plastic knives in it, which are actually surprisingly sharp. it's got a peeler in it and things like that. And so his favorite thing to do is he'll get up there on a little stool and he'll be like, do we need to peel any carrots? And I'm like, sure, we can eat carrots. Give him a couple carrots and he just peels.
Love
and, he'll chop some stuff up. Loves to stir aggressively. my oldest, he does like to sort of participate in the cooking aspect of it. And that is fun to see. And both boys love going to the cafe and being there and getting to pick stuff out and hang out there. The oldest act also likes to go to our catering facility because it's a huge space and it's a giant warehouse.
Oh, wow, right
full
on,
of
yeah.
Random stuff. And he's like, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. What does this do? What does this do? Can I ride a cart?
That's great, man. I love it. That is so cool. Like you alluded to at the top, man, about, you know, when your kids are interested in the things that you are also interested in, it's like, Wow, that's cool.
It is.
That is so cool.
So if you're not familiar, Roots Cafe is actually where the old Cluck and Cup was in South End. What's the address to the cafe?
2135 South End Drive.
Yep. So it's right there. What a great location. That place has exploded. I always tell people we lived literally 100 yards from where your cafe is, and we go to Max, and you'd be out there watching Max, and you could literally watch the light rail go from basically OMB all the way uptown because there was nothing there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And now you're just like, what in the hell is going on? But it's a beautiful space. I believe you guys have actually taken on some more space there. Yeah, is that correct?
We're working on expansion over there. Right next to us was South End Vet, and they moved over to it's on Tremont. What's the name of the road right there? Remount.
Remount, yeah.
Remount Road. Yep. Yeah. And so we used to go, or they used to be next to us, which they had 3 units, and we are 1 unit where our cafe is. So if all the expansion goes to plan and goes correctly, we should be expanding to all 4 of those units.
Oh, man, that's
units,
great.
Which would be great. We'll be able to
have
a more comprehensive kitchen there. Right now, the kitchen is about the size of this office recording studio, which is not that big. so we'll be
for
able
a
to,
kitchen, absolutely not.
Yeah, no, not when you cram 3 people in there and some dishwashers and stuff like that. So we'll be able to expand our kitchen facility, which will make us able to do more variety of items at the cafe and sort of consolidate all of our services over there, because right now how it works is we have somebody who's over at our catering headquarters producing what we call the heavy lifting. They're like grilling chicken and roasting potatoes, and like they're doing all the things that requires actual ovens and cooling facilities and all of the stuff like that. So there's somebody over there all day doing that stuff while the cafe is functioning, and then they're driving stuff over there almost daily to sort of re-up the stock. It's not that efficient. we do it as efficiently as possible, and luckily we're only like just barely over a mile from the catering facility to our cafe.
Yeah.
So that helps out a lot. If it was any further, I think it would be a big deal. That'll give us the ability to sort of move everything in-house, more variety, and we'll have a ton more seating, which would be really great.
Yeah, that'd be great, man. Good for you.
You guys are in expanding. And I got, before we move on here, but I want to give a shout out to Dr. Maples at South End Vet. He was the vet for our dog Dempsey and helped out with her through her whole cancer diagnosis. They're amazing people over there. Their new location's amazing. So if you need a vet, I'll just give you a quick shout out. They are not a sponsor, but South End Vet and Dr. Maples is incredible. Great person. So right now, if you're a business, if you're in the event space, and they're interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way to get in contact with your organization to learn how you can support them for the full-fledged catering and really the experience is what you provide?
The best way to contact Roots about any sort of client experience is to go to our website, which is rootsfoodco.com, or you can go to roots-catering.com and fill out a form on the website, and our sales team will get back to you pretty much immediately. Or if you know somebody who knows me and you can somehow get my phone number, just give me a call and we can talk about how to get your event happening.
I know somebody that has your phone number. Exactly.
That's great, Craig, man.
Well, this has been great, man. Like I said, it's been so good to get to know you and Jess and that the whole group. You guys are just good people. Your kids are great for the most part. You know, I mean, everybody has their moments.
Kids are kids. Everybody has their moments.
But the food, it really is unbelievable. And you guys, it's just everything you put out, it's intentional. You're making it with the end user in mind. And just go to their cafe. If you go check it out, I promise you, you will go back. It's a great organization. Now you also have a couple of different things like Bar 54, Bluebird. Is that all new? And that's under your umbrella as well? Or what
it is under our umbrella. Bluebird is something that we actually closed earlier. Well, okay. We closed in the middle of last year. But Bar 54 still exists. It's a tap truck service.
Okay.
We sold one of our tap trucks, but now we still have sort of the original, which is 1959 Chevy Apache. It's all ivory, beautiful, beautiful truck, all original. We have, I took an old walk-in cooler and cut it up into pieces and installed it in the bed of the truck, covered it all in wood. And so now
that's
we have
awesome.
Now we have a nice like kegerator basically on the back
on wheels.
Sweet.
Yep. Yeah, it's very, very, very cool. It's fun to use those.
That's sweet. Well, you've developed a great team over there. Congratulations on everything that you've done. I know this is just the beginning, really. I mean, you've gotten to such a great point and throughout the years, but you're somebody that is constantly thinking about the future and what can we do and the landscape of it. And I also, you know, applaud you for your commitment to really creating that kind of revolution of local food, right? And supporting those farmers. And I think it really takes a grassroots effort for chefs to be committed to that. But now it is kind of the thing, right? Mm-hmm. You go yeah. into restaurants now and it's all like, this is sourced locally, but there is also something about that. I mean, I tell people all the time, you're a local company, you know, support people that are local here, support those farms, right? If you don't support local farms, guess what? They go away. And then you have nothing that's local and you're going to be eating McDonald's type crap for the rest of your life.
No, like farms are no different than any local business.
Yeah,
absolutely.
If you don't go, they're going to go out of business.
Absolutely. Well, this has been fantastic. Like we always say, please like, share, comment, go check them out at rootsfoodco.com. If you have any questions or if you're really awesome and you want Craig's phone number, I will charge you $10. I should charge more than that. I will charge $100 for his. I'm just kidding. No. If we think it would be a good fit, I obviously know how to get in touch with Craig and with his team. But if you are looking for that type of an experience, the other thing I'll just mention, you know, there's a lot of catering companies that they're going to say, this is what we do. Roots creates the experience, right? And a lot of organizations, specifically with what we do, you need that partner. You need somebody that can take that burden off. If you're trying to create this amazing event, there's all this other stuff that you have to do as well. Let Roots handle this aspect of it. You will not have to worry about it. Craig and his team are the best of the best. And we just wish you the best in the future, man. Can't wait to see, you know, what's next and where Roots Food Co. goes from here.
Cool. Thanks so much, man.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Till next time, you've been listening to this episode of the award-winning Brand Builders Podcast.
You've been listening to the Brand Builders Podcast, brought to you by the Dunston Group with your host, Scott Dunston and Brian Young. For branded merchandise and apparel that makes first impressions and ones that last, check out the Dunston Group at dunstongroup.com.